Akinjo looks to drive. Pull-up jumper, left elbow, rims out. Meyer the rebound and the putback. Matt Meyer, late game heroics. Baylor leads 77-71.
I mean, he has 9 points when it just, when they had to happen. They needed an extra punch, and he's provided it.
Baylor wins last night. Big 12 basketball over West Virginia. 81-77 was the final. Mountaineers now 13-8, 2-6 in conference play. Baylor improves 19-3, 7-2. Keeps the pressure on KU in the conference standings. TCU wins on the road at Oklahoma last night, 72-63 as well. And so TCU's having a pretty good season thus far. We'll preview KU and Iowa State. Number 10 KU on the road at number 20 Iowa State. We'll hear from Bill Self coming up in a little bit. And Chris Baird returns to Lubbock to take on Texas Tech. And, man, the fans are ready for him. I can tell you that. I saw the lines, people winning tickets. And there are more people in line for tickets than anybody that's ever attended a Texas men's basketball game. I might have exaggerated that a hair, but that seems like it. New hoop polls are out. KU did drop from 5 to 10, and Kentucky moved up in the polls, not surprisingly. We'll tell you about a $20 bet that hit the proverbial jackpot over the weekend. What's next for the Chiefs and Tom Brady? It now, Ian Rappaport, I would say, is official when the guy actually comes out and makes a statement on social media. Just because Ian Rappaport, Jeff Darlington, Adam Schefter say it's true, and then we find out that they've been wrong on some other stories, hard to say it's official. You want to go with that story? You want to double down on it? That's fine. Cool. You ended up getting it right. That's fantastic. Don't tell me that it's official because you said it was official. No, 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 no. It's official when Tom Brady says it's official. And apparently it's official today. However, I will say until he files the paperwork and it's all done, we've seen guys unretire. There's a guy that was pretty good quarterback at one point in time called Brett Favre. And he changed his mind on a few times. Yeah. And by the way, here is what Tom Brady had to say as I pull it up here. His official statement as he's retiring from the NFL after 22 seasons. Just yesterday on a podcast said it's day to day. Well, today apparently he feels like he wants to retire. Tomorrow maybe he decides he doesn't want to. Who knows? He says, and I quote, "I have always believed the sport of football is an all-in proposition. If a 100% competitive commitment isn't there, you won't succeed. And success is what I love so much about our game. There is a physical, mental, and emotional challenge every single day that has allowed me to maximize my highest potential. And I have tried my very best these past 22 years. There are no shortcuts to success on the field or in life. This is difficult for me to write, but here it goes. I am not going to make that competitive commitment anymore. I have loved my NFL career, and now it is time to focus my time and energy on other things that require my attention. I've done a lot of reflecting the past week, and I've asked myself difficult questions, and I'm so proud of what we have achieved. My teammates, coaches, fellow competitors, and fans deserve 100% of me, but right now it's best if I leave the field of play to the next generation of dedicated and committed athletes." Tom Brady putting that on social media today, very recently here this morning, that he is retiring after 22 seasons in NFL. I've always said that the great, great, great ones, it's always cool to see them go out on top. Now, Tom Brady didn't retire after he beat the Chiefs in the Super Bowl. He's going out a year later when they lost in the divisional round. However, I'll say this. Tom Brady led the league in passing yardage. He led the league in passing touchdowns. He had an outstanding season at the age of 44. He said he wanted to play till he was 45. He decided to just change that goal just a hair to 44. There's no doubt he could have played another year or two or three. Who knows how long he could have played as long as he had an offensive line to protect him, which for the most part he did. And he didn't play great against the Rams, but however, his last touchdown pass was a touchdown pass of about 50-some yards to cut the lead to 7, and then he was able to score the game-tying drive with about 30-some seconds to go against the Rams a couple weekends ago. It would end up being a touchdown run by Fournette, but he ended up playing very well the last couple of drives against the Rams, and many people thought it was going to go overtime, and very well could have, and if so, the Buccaneers and Tom Brady could be getting ready for a Super Bowl appearance. Who knows? But because they would have hosted the Niners in the NFC title game. Instead, Matthew Stafford, Cooper Kupp, they were able to hook up a couple times with some big plays, and the Buccaneers were sent home packing. And thus, apparently, that was the last time that we are going to see Tom Brady on a football field. He is the greatest of all time. I don't think anybody can debate that. When you have 10 Super Bowl appearances in 22 seasons, you have 7 Super Bowl wins. I mean, that's hitting 33%. That's insane. Also, it's pretty insane that he won a Super Bowl at the age of 43 with a brand new team in his first year with that team. So he won at two different organizations. He's the only quarterback to win Super Bowls with teams in both the AFC and the NFC. Listen, I respect Tom Brady. I do. I've grown to like him more so than I did when he was younger. As he's gotten older, I've liked him more. Obviously, I don't like him because he beat my Chiefs last year. Although, honestly, I didn't think he was the reason they beat the Chiefs necessarily. He was part of it, but it was more his defense. And that's something I want to focus on here coming up on the show, because there's always this talk, and I don't like the comparisons of Mahomes to Brady anyway. Mahomes isn't Brady. Brady isn't Mahomes. And I don't know why necessarily Mahomes is compared to Brady other than people thinking he could be the greatest of all time. That's the only reason that comparison comes up. Mahomes has been in the league now as a starter 4 years. He's been in the Super Bowl two of the four. That's hitting 50%. Even though they didn't make the Super Bowl this year, the Chiefs are still hitting 50% in Mahomes' years as a starting quarterback making the Super Bowl. All right? Brady was in the NFL 22 seasons with the Super Bowl 10 times. That's just under 50%. So Mahomes on pace there, if you want to make the comparison. Mm-hmm. Also, when you're talking about Super Bowl victories, Mahomes has one in 4 years as a starter. That's 25%. Brady won seven in 22 years. That's about 30%. So it's not like Mahomes would win the Super Bowl next year. All of a sudden, he's ahead of the pace in regards to Super Bowl appearances, and he's ahead or right on the pace for Super Bowl wins. I don't know if that's Mahomes' goal, ultimately, to win seven Super Bowls or win eight and beat Brady. I think Brady's Super Bowl last year for the Buccaneers over the Chiefs cemented the legacy, unfortunately, because I thought that was when the torch was going to be passed, and instead it wasn't. I don't think you overcome it. Plus, Mahomes will never get to play Brady again if Brady stays retired, so he'll end up being 0-2 against Brady in the playoffs, the two biggest games. Of course, I don't put it on Mahomes, the AFC title game, his first year as a starter, but the Super Bowl, I mean, let's be honest, the Bucs had the better team, the Bucs walloped them, and Mahomes, you know, running for his life. He didn't check down. He didn't take some of the easy stuff, just like he didn't the other day in the second half against the Bengals. So when you go to those comparisons, it's probably unfair, no doubt, to Mahomes. And Mahomes and Brady are two different people. But if you, I do understand the comparison. If you're thinking Mahomes could very well be the greatest of all time, I understand trying to be ahead of the curve and using those comparisons. But what I'm trying to get across right now is, if you are using that comparison between Mahomes and Brady right now, even though the Chiefs lost on Sunday to the Bengals, Mahomes is on pace to be right there. Now, do I think Mahomes and the Chiefs are going to win seven Super Bowls? No. Do I think that Mahomes is going to win seven in his career, like if he goes somewhere when he's 40? No. In fact, I don't think Mahomes is going to play when he's 40. That's just my opinion. I think he's going to have enough injuries. I think the way he plays is a little bit more, he takes more shots. I think Mahomes, if he loses that arm strength, is going to change the way he plays. I think Mahomes can play 10 or 15 years in this league, don't get me wrong, but I don't think he's playing until he's 44, which means that here's the thing. How are you going to get seven Super Bowl wins and 10 Super Bowl appearances if you only play 15 seasons? Because I think Mahomes might play 15, 16, 17 seasons, and Brady's got five extra seasons because he played till he's 44. Do you think Patrick Mahomes is going to play till he's 44?
No.
Not, and probably not at that level.
I don't think any of the quarterbacks in this era are going to play when they're 44.
I think 40 is about the max you're going to have. Rodgers, of course, can play till he's 40.
Yeah.
Favre played when he was 40. I think he can get to 40, but I think it depends on the way you play. Does anybody think Lamar Jackson's going to make it to 40? I don't think Lamar's going to make it to 30, okay? To age 30 playing in this league the way he plays. Do you think Josh Allen's going to play when he's 40? I don't.
No.
I don't think Baker Mayfield's going to be in this league when he's 40. I don't. You know, Justin Herbert, maybe. I don't think so. You know, obviously, I don't think Russell Wilson's going to play until he's 40 in this league. Rodgers is the only guy right now. I'm trying to think of another younger quarterback. Burrow, I doubt he's going to play until he's 40. Although I will say he's probably got the makeup and the way he plays, where he stays in the pocket a lot. He could possibly get there, but he's had lots of injuries in his career already. But the point I'm making here is that no NFL quarterback is going to play till they're 44, possibly ever again, let alone at the level that Brady played at and the team he had around him. He went to Tampa, and they were all in and got the guys to help him win a Super Bowl. They got the defensive help. They got Gronkowski out of retirement. They got, you know, good receivers. They went and got Leonard Fournette. You know, they addressed their offensive line, which was already good before Brady went there. Let's not forget that Jameis Winston threw for 5,000 yards the year before Tom Brady went there. People forget that. The problem with Jameis Winston wasn't touchdowns or yardage. It was 30 interceptions. That was the problem, decision-making there. So it's not like Brady went in and had a horrible team that he was inheriting. He was going to a team that had some talent, no doubt. But he's the one that got him over the top. There's no question. He should be credited for that. But for anybody to say Mahomes or Herbert or Allen or Lamar Jackson or, you know, Joe Burrow – is going to match what Tom Brady did, you're going to have to do it in probably five less seasons.
Yeah.
Think about that for a second. You're going to have to do it in five less years, more than likely. You're going to have to play till you're 40 or 39, and that means you're going to have to go to the Super Bowl virtually every other year to get seven. Does anybody think that's really realistic? Even if you're a Chiefs fan right now, do you think that's realistic?
No.
No. You know, the Chiefs have been to four AFC title games. They have one Super Bowl. Honestly, that's right on average with the math. You win one, you lose one, you don't make two of them. That's right on the average. Now, the great organizations don't do average. That's why the Patriots are so special. They won six of the nine. That's 67% winning percentage. That's different than normally you're going to win half and lose half. That's above the curve. Brady going to 10 Super Bowls in 22 seasons is way above the curve.
No, yeah.
Winning 7 out of the 10, way above the curve. So he is the greatest of all time. And you might not like him. You might despise him. You may be jealous of him, just like you're jealous of the Yankees. And listen, I don't like the Yankees. I wish they lose all the time. But it's the ultimate compliment because the Yankees are the best baseball organization in the history of Major League Baseball. There is no way to deny that. You may hate the Yankees, but if you're going to say the Yankees aren't the best, dude, they got twice as many world championships as the Cardinals do. They have twice as anybody. Yeah. There's no doubt they're the best organization in baseball of all time. Now, when you talk about best organization in the NFL of all time, you've got to put the Steelers, the Patriots, and the 49ers right now. Because the Steelers have won six, the Patriots have won six, and the Steelers have won five. And the Cowboys maybe are the next one up after that. But
so the Packers are
and the Packers, yeah, I don't know how many Super Bowl championships
they have. Five too.
No, they don't. They don't have five. The 49ers are the only one to have five. They have four, I think, but I have to look it up. Because I saw it the other day. It was on a graphic. It showed that there was a Steelers, Patriots won six, 49ers won five. And the 49ers were 5-0 in the Super Bowl until they lost their last couple Super Bowl appearances with Kaepernick against the Ravens
Packers,
and, of course, the Chiefs.
Four just off the top of my head, not five.
Yeah. The Packers don't have five.
Yeah.
So, you know, the Packers, the Cowboys, I don't know how many the Cowboys have, three or four. The Cowboys, the Packers, the Patriots, the Steelers, and the 49ers. Those are your top organizations in the NFL. You can argue back and forth, well, who's the best? Because it's so close. Major League Baseball, you can't argue that the Yankees are not the best organization of all time, which leads me back to Tom Brady. If you're arguing Tom Brady isn't the greatest quarterback of all time, then you apparently don't care about winning. Because the guy won seven rings, for crying out loud. He only has three fingers on his two hands without a ring. Nobody in the NFL can come close to that. None. The Patriots have never won a Super Bowl without Tom Brady. That is also a fact. The Steelers have won Super Bowls with different quarterbacks. Terry Bradshaw, Ben Roethlisberger. 49ers won Super Bowls with different quarterbacks. Joe Montana, Steve Young. Okay? But only one organization, all their Super Bowls have been won by just one quarterback.
Uh-huh.
Okay? The Packers, you got Favre, you got Starr, you got Rodgers.
Yeah.
Okay? The Cowboys didn't win
Cowboys
all.
Cowboys had five, by the way.
Okay, the Cowboys have five. That graphic must have been wrong then. Because
I saw a different graphic, I think, probably than you. And I was thinking there was two that was on the five.
Yeah,
line.
I saw the Niners, the only logo I saw.
Yeah.
So the Cowboys have five. So there's a you can.
But they got different
quarterbacks as well.
Stalock, Troy Aikman.
How are you not the greatest of all time when you're the one that there's an organization you played for that has the most championships of all time, tied for the most of all time, and you're the one that's there for all six of them?
Yeah.
Of course you're the GOAT without even winning it last year. He's the GOAT. So. Because, you know, somebody said, well, why is Michael Jordan considered the GOAT? Or why is LeBron considered the GOAT? Bill Russell won 11 championships. Well, LeBron's won four. Jordan's won six. Brady, Bill Russell wasn't the best center in his time, okay?
Mm-hmm.
He was a great defensive player. He was not a good offensive player. You can look up the field goal percentages. Weren't good, okay? He wasn't. You know, Wilt Chamberlain changed the game offensively. Bill Russell was an amazing defender, had a lot of talent around him, like lots of guys do. We said it before, not one guy can do everything. But Tom Brady won it two different organizations, two different conferences, and the only time the Celtics have won championships without Bill Russell, by the way.
Oh,
but the Patriots have never won one without Tom Brady. Now, maybe someday they will. But it is, to me, it's a no-brainer. It isn't necessarily straight up. Championships determine who's the best of all time, because if that's the case, Steve Kerr should be, Robert Horry should be like second in line next to Bill Russell. But when we're talking about the guy playing the best position, the most important position in football, and winning six Super Bowls with one organization, one with another, and the statistics he put up and how he performed in most of those games, there's no doubt he is the GOAT. As much as I might not like to say it, he is. And I will go through the numbers of his Super Bowls because I've done some research this morning. Because one thing Tom Brady has had in a lot of his Super Bowl wins is something that Patrick Mahomes hasn't had. You know, there's all this talk when you compare Mahomes to Brady. Well, you know, Brady didn't have Kelce. He didn't have Hill. Can you imagine if he had those guys? And I would argue, well, Mahomes hasn't had an unbelievable offensive line. Brady has. All right. I would argue Mahomes has never had he hasn't even had an average defense in the Super Bowl. Maybe when they won it, that might have been why they won it. They were average, okay? He hasn't had a top 10 defense ever in the Super Bowl or even in his 4 years as a starter. Brady's had multiple teams that have been top 10, some in the top 5, and some of the Super Bowls that Brady won, 13-3 against the Rams. He lost to the Giants twice. Offense scored 14, lost 17-14 and 21-17. The Patriots' defense did what they had to do in those games, and Brady didn't do enough in those two.
Mm-hmm.
And last year, you know, Brady didn't have to do a ton. The Chiefs only scored 9 points, 3 field goals, didn't even score a touchdown. So, you know, if there was ever a day where the Chiefs knew their defense could hold a team to 17 or under in three different Super Bowls, I think the Chiefs would feel pretty good. They'd be 3-0 automatically. So when you want to argue Brady didn't have all the weapons, listen, he had Randy Moss and they went 18-0 and then couldn't win at all. And yes, he didn't have that top flight running back really ever that I can think of. But he did have a great tight end, Rob Gronkowski. He also had an unbelievable coach, which you can argue what's more important, the quarterback or the coach. You can go back and forth all you want. I think it's important in both of them. But when you want to argue Brady doesn't have the weapons that Mahomes has had offensively, I would probably tend to agree with you. But let's not just sit here and make this a one-sided discussion. Why don't you talk about what Mahomes doesn't have that Brady had, and what both have great coaches, all right?
Mm-hmm.
But Mahomes has never had a top-10 defense, not even close. So in fairness, if you're making that comparison, imagine what Mahomes could do if he had teams in the Super Bowl hold the opposing team to 17 points twice, 21, 3, and 9. The Chiefs? The one Super Bowl they won, the Chiefs held them to 20. Last year, the Chiefs gave up 31 to the Bucs.
Yeah.
So it is really interesting. By the way, overall in the Super Bowls, Tom Brady's offenses averaged 24.5 points a game, which isn't amazing, but good. The defense allowed 21 a game. Think about that. That's pretty solid. Mm-hmm. Now, granted, part of these Super Bowls were in an era where his passing became more prevalent later on. In the 7 wins, Brady's offenses averaged 26 a game, and the defense only gave up 19. In the 3 losses in the Super Bowl, Brady's offense only scored 21 a game. The defense gave up 26. You see the correlation there?
Yeah.
So,
sure.
No doubt, defense helps you. It isn't just the quarterback. You need defense to help you win Super Bowls, no doubt, or at least be the Robin to the Batman, or at least be a serviceable component of the equation. But Tom Brady's Super Bowls, he beat the Rams. I'll go over this. I'll just go ahead and take care of the Tom Brady thing and get it out of the way here. Tom Brady in his Super Bowls, he threw for 3,000 yards, 21 touchdowns, 6 interceptions in 10 games. So he only averaged 2 touchdown passes a Super Bowl.
Mm.
His passer rating was 97.7. So all these people talk about Mahomes having a horrible year this year. Do you know what Mahomes' passer rating was this year? 98.5.
Yes,
so for all these talking heads that rip Mahomes saying he had his worst year of his career, his passer rating is still better than Brady's all-time passer rating in the Super Bowls. I mean, think about that for a second. All right? So those are the numbers for Brady. He only threw 6 picks in 10 games. That's pretty good. Last year in the Super Bowl, Brady threw for 201 yards and 3 touchdowns. Does that jump off the page and you say, wow, he dominated? No. He had a really good offensive line. He had a great defense or amazing defense against the Chiefs' backup left and right tackles. It's a team concept, but yes, you definitely need the quarterback to make it happen. There's no question about that. You look back at the Super Bowls. Okay, the first Super Bowl that Brady played in, they were a heavy underdog against the greatest show on turf, and it was the defense that won that game.
Yeah.
There's no doubt the defense won that game. Tom Brady's stats in that Super Bowl when the Patriots beat the Rams 20-17, notice the low-scoring game. Brady's stats in the first Super Bowl win, 16 of 27 for 145 yards. He was a game manager at the time, only 1 touchdown. Passer rating was 86. That's not great.
Got him in Vinatieri's range
for a field goal to win it. He was clutch. You're right about that. His next Super Bowl against the Panthers, now here he came at pretty good stuff. 32 of 48 for 354 and three touchdowns and INT. His passer rating 101. They win 32-29. Also got him in range for a field goal to win the game. That's clutch. Against the Eagles, good and solid, no doubt. But the Patriot defense is very good against Donovan McNabb. 23 of 33 for 236, two touchdowns, passer rating 110. You know, but still, solid performance by Brady, no doubt. Then the losses to the Giants. He was 29 of 48, 266 yards, only one touchdown, no interceptions, passer rating of 86, only scored 14 points against Steve Spagnuolo's defense of the New York Giants, lost 17-14. Next time the Patriots played the Giants, they lost 21-17. They only scored 31 points in two games and eight quarters of play against the Giants. Brady was 27 of 41 for 276, two touchdowns, INT, 91 rating. Far from unbelievably excellent. Then against the Seahawks, when they should have never won that Super Bowl, if Pete Carroll gives the ball Marshawn Lynch, as we all believe, Brady was not bad. 37 of 50 for 328, four touchdowns, two interceptions in that game. The Falcons, of course, is the one you really look at. They were down 28-3, and then his defense was not good, but they were good in the second half, and Brady got it going. 43 of 62 for 466, two touchdowns, one INT. His passer rating still was only 95.
Yeah.
But still, that was a great performance. The Eagles, he threw for 505 yards and three touchdowns, 28 of 48. That was the one Super Bowl where he didn't have a defense.
Yeah.
The Eagles just, Nick Foles lit him up. And Brady, that was his best statistical Super Bowl, and they lost. His rating was 115. And then against the Rams just a few years ago, Brady, his offense scored one touchdown. They scored 13 points, and they won 13-3. Do you think Mahomes will ever win a Super Bowl 13-3?
No.
I'm betting not. Brady was 21 of 35 for 262. He didn't even throw a touchdown pass in the game. His passer rating was 71, which is not good at all. Okay? And then last year, 21 of 29 for 201 and three touchdowns. So I went through every single Super Bowl with Tom Brady. Tom Brady could have easily been 10-0. He could have easily been 2-8.
Yeah.
I mean, you look at those Super Bowls. How many Super Bowls did how many of these Super Bowls were blowouts? Think about this for a second. 20-17. That game could have gone either way, right?
Yeah,
okay.
For sure.
32-29 against Panthers could have gone either way. 24-21, they were in control of that game. The Eagles had a late touchdown. So I'll say he definitely had that one controlled. They lost to the Giants. Those two could have gone either way. The David Tyree catch, of course, doesn't happen. The catch on the sideline, but what was it, Manningham. I mean, those two plays don't happen from Eli Manning, then he probably wins two more. The Seahawks, he shouldn't have won, and they did. The Falcons, he shouldn't have won, and he did. The Eagles, they lost. The Rams only scored 13 and won. The only blowout win of all the Super Bowls Tom Brady played in was last year.
Yeah.
Over the Chiefs, 31-9. They won by three, lost by three, lost by four. Won by four, won by six in overtime, lost by eight, won by 10, won by 22. The two biggest margins of victory in the Super Bowl was when Tom Brady was in his 40s.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
They might as well have won by 40 against the Rams because the Rams couldn't do anything in that game.
Like, and in fairness,
even like once the Patriots scored an actual touchdown, that game was over. Like,
and in fairness to the Patriots, they didn't even really try to score that. I mean, they were very conservative because they knew their defense had their number.
I mean, it was like the game was over once the Patriots actually got seven on the board. If you could feel it, like, this team's not doing anything tonight.
So somebody asked me, so what are the stats of the Super Bowl so far Mahomes has played in? Okay, well, the Chiefs have scored 31-1, 31-20, and they lost 31-9. So the defense is giving up, in the two Super Bowl games that Mahomes has played in, they're giving up 25.5 points, and they're scoring 20. That's a small sample size. Brady scored 25 a game in his 10 Super Bowls. The defense allowed 21. The Chiefs have allowed 26 in two Super Bowls on average. So the defense is definitely worse than what Brady had. And honestly, the offense for the Chiefs, of course, it's a smaller sample size. We only scored 9 against Tampa Bay. But, you know, it gives
7
you
out of 8 quarters, they've only scored 19 points
That's
in the
true.
Super Bowl.
That's right. They had 21 points in the fourth quarter against the Niners, if I remember that correctly.
Yeah.
They were down 10. So it is very interesting when you look at the numbers. But, I mean, you think about it. You know, if you really, really think about it, the Patriots should have lost the first one. I'll do this on both hands here. They should have lost the first one. The second one, that could have gone either way, but I'll give them the W, and they did get the W. The Eagles game, they won. They were up 10. The Giants game, honestly, they should have won. And the next time they should have won.
Yeah.
They should have been 4-1 in those first five Super Bowls. They should have lost to the Seahawks, should have lost to the Falcons. They lost to the Eagles. They should have beaten the Rams, yeah. I mean, really, honestly, when you look at it, and it's hard to say the Chiefs should have beat them when the Chiefs had backup tackles, that the Brady should have been 5-5 or 6-4. But what puts him above everybody else? Like, if Brady was 5-5, would we be talking about him as the greatest of all time? Because what does LeBron get knocked on? He's been to almost twice as many NBA finals as Jordan.
Yeah.
But he's 4-6 or whatever it is. It's a losing record. If Brady was 5-5, do you think today when he retires, and everything would be the same, 10 Super Bowls, 22 seasons, and let's say he had a Super Bowl with the Bucks and he had 4 with the Patriots. Say he's 4-5 with the Patriots. Would you consider him the GOAT when he went 500 in the Super Bowl?
I think a lot of people still would, but it would be more of a discussion.
I agree.
Wouldn't be saying automatically that
yes.
No matter how we look at it, we got to call this guy the GOAT, right? Because
yeah.
I don't want to do it. You don't want to do it.
Sure.
You get tired of it, right?
Yeah, right.
And that's why I said on Twitter the other day, I said, I mean, it's with all due respect.
Yeah.
I am not disappointed that Tom Brady's retiring.
Me neither.
I'm not going to miss him. But at the same time, you recognize he's the best to do it. Because, I mean, I held off for a while until he kept beating Peyton Manning, right?
Oh, yeah.
And because I feel like Peyton Manning is a better quarterback as far as skill and what he can do.
Sure.
And some of the things that he did at that point of his career. Like, obviously, Peyton didn't go as long. He had some injuries that kind of took some of that
back. And Peyton never had some of the defenses Brady had. But in fairness, Brady didn't have Marvin Harrison, Reggie Wayne,
exactly,
and Edgerrin James all those years either.
And so it was a few years before I had kind of conceded that, saying I got to put him above Peyton.
Yeah,
and you know there's discussion about Joe Montana going to Super Bowls and winning them all, and things like that. But that's, you know, when you start getting higher and higher on that list, it's harder to overcome that. And you know, I don't think we'd be talking the same way we are about him today if he was 5-5. But
I agree with you. I think you would argue then Joe Montana, because you'd go, well, he's 4-0. If he had been to 10 Super Bowls, he could have done more than 5-5. He was 4-0. When Brady's 7-3, you're like, wow, that's 6 more than Montana. And here's the other thing that adds the Brady's number to being the greatest. It isn't that he just has been to 10 Super Bowls or that he was a game manager for a couple of them. Is that he is the all-time leader in passing yardage. He's all-time leader in touchdown passes. I mean, he's all-time leader in any statistics when it comes to quarterbacks in postseason history. I mean, he's got basically almost every single quarterback record known to man. How are you not the greatest of all time if you got that? And the rings.
Yeah.
How can you argue against that? I really wish I could, but I can't.
Right now you can't, but
I can't. And I'm not gonna hold the fact that Brady had better defenses than Mahomes had so far. I'm not gonna hold that against Brady. Because each great player has to have somebody to help them win, whether it's a great tight end in Kelsey, a great receiver in Hill, or you need a great offensive line. I mean, Troy Aikman won Super Bowls. It wasn't because Troy Aikman was the greatest of all time. He had a great Hall of Fame running back, Hall of Fame wide receiver. He had an unbelievable offensive line, right? I mean, but Brady, he had really good defenses, usually. He had usually really good offensive lines. And, yeah, he'd have a weapon here and there, maybe not the studs. And that just goes to show you that you can do it in different ways. You can be star-studded on offense and be serviceable on defense. You can be really good on defense along with a solid quarterback or a great quarterback in Brady. So if you're going to knock Tom Brady for having good defenses, you got to knock Patrick Mahomes for having two unbelievable weapons to throw to. If you're not going to knock Mahomes for that, then you shouldn't knock Brady for having good defenses. I mean, be consistent in your argument. But the proof is in the pudding. He holds all the records. Longevity helps with records. Yes, that's true. But have you seen what the seasonal records were for every team he was a quarterback of? He never had a losing season. Not even close. With the Patriots and the Bucks, once he was a starter, they were winning double digits. I think there's one year they went 9-7, I think, was the worst year he ever had. And that was earlier in his career. I mean, how do you deny it?
Yeah. I want to, like, when we have these discussions, it's like we need to put the whole argument in any sport of anybody that does anything, or even in life, of we got here by ourselves. If I had those
Jordan
weapons,
well,
I could do that too.
Pippen.
Listen, I'm going to tell you right now, think about your own life.
Yeah.
If you've reached the mountaintop, did you get there by yourself?
No.
Somebody had to give you a chance to get
Absolutely.
There. Somebody had to push you to get there. You didn't just do that on your own. Like, I'm sitting here like, because in my mind I'm thinking like, you know, we talk about all these team champions, right? Mm-hmm. But we just saw Rafael Nadal win his 21st men's Grand Slam championship the other day in tennis. Mm-hmm. You think he got there by himself?
No way.
No, he had parents probably that pushed him or whatever when he was a kid, coaches that pushed him. He's got coaches right now that are helping him do what he needs to do. There's multiple guys that have had a lot of success that have fired coaches because they're not doing the right thing with them on the tennis court,
right?
In training and practice, whatever they're doing, it doesn't work.
Right.
But you still have somebody in your corner that's helping you get there.
Right.
Somebody probably pushed Novak Djokovic over the edge. Somebody obviously pushed Roger Federer over the edge to get to where he is today. He didn't just go out and do that all on his own. So if it's a coach, if it's a teammate in a team sport, if it's weapons that you have, if it's a defense that you have, if it's Scottie Pippen that you have, if it's three people in Miami that you have that build a super team and win championships with LeBron, you know, nobody has ever gotten there by themselves.
No.
In anything they've done in their life,
absolutely.
I don't feel like. I mean, you can say I had the intestinal fortitude maybe to get somewhere I wasn't supposed to, and I just took that bull by the horns by myself and did it. But in the end, even like in my professional career, if I go do something that I'm proud of, right? I had to get a chance to get this job, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like somebody had to take a chance and believe in me and then put me in a position to do it, right? Like anything you do, somebody had to put you in a position to get there.
Absolutely.
And there's probably some people where they did most of the work themselves.
Todd, of course, he's a Marino guy, so he's going to knock Brady. Brady at top-level defenses. Heard same conversation, Marino versus Montana. Useless comparison. Montana, the number one defense. Marino had a bad defense. It is a team game. Give Elway and Marino good defenses, they would have won more Super Bowls. Yes, that is true. If you gave Tom Brady, Mark Duper, and Mark Clayton, I would argue Tom Brady would have had more Super Bowls.
Yeah.
If you give Tom Brady Terrell Davis, I would argue he'd win more Super Bowls. Elway couldn't win a Super Bowl until he had a running game. That's something else Marino never had. You know, Brady had a running game, but he never had a stud running back. Can you name right off the bat the greatest running back that the Patriots had while he was quarterback?
No.
The greatest wide receiver you come up with is Moss, Edelman, and Welker.
Sure, yeah.
That's
it.
And by the way, Gronkowski, I got a question. Is he going to retire? Well, yeah. Why is Gronk
There's no way he's sticking around.
He's riding the coattails of Brady, of course.
He's already retired once.
Yeah.
He's like, when are you going to stick around without Tom Brady?
He's going to stick around. But see, you know, it is useless to compare things. That's why I don't like the Brady-Mahomes comparison. I don't like LeBron versus Jordan. I don't like those comparisons, but it fills time to talk about sports. But think about this for a second, and here's another thing that Todd, hopefully he's still listening. And I'm not defending Tom Brady here. It's just the fact. Tom Brady went to 10 Super Bowls in 22 seasons in different decades with different teams and completely remodeled. They started out with good defenses, and he was a game manager. Then he became the guy that had to carry the team. And the defenses weren't as good, okay? And then he had Super Bowls where the defense played great, and he had a defensive-minded head coach, okay?
Yeah.
But then he went to the Buccaneers, and in his first year, he wins a Super Bowl just like that, and they crushed the Chiefs, the favorite in the Super Bowl in his first year. I don't know if Elway and Marino would have done that. Where they just go to another organization, and immediately they're going to win a Super Bowl? I don't know about that. I really don't. And here's the other thing. Brady went to 10 Super Bowls in 22 years. In fairness, he went to 10 Super Bowls in 20 seasons. His first year in the league, he threw six. He had 6 yards passing. He didn't start his first year in the league. Okay, neither did Mahomes, by the way. Okay, so Mahomes. That's why we say in 4 years, Mahomes has been the four AFC title games. We don't count the first year. Well, guess what? How can we count the first year for Brady? He threw like three passes.
Yeah.
And by the way, can we count? Remember 2008? Bernard Pollard ripped up his knee. Chiefs Patriots early in the season. I think it was week one of the season. Brady in 2008 threw for 76 yards and was out for the torn ACL. So really, when you look at it, Brady in 20 NFL seasons went to the Super Bowl 10 times.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Yeah.
And the league is built on parity. It has been for a while. It is not designed to have teams dominate. And that's why I don't think we will ever see an NFL team do what the Patriots did.
Yeah.
And I think that's a big credit to Belichick. It's a big credit to the organization. It's a big credit to Tom Brady. Yes, no doubt about it. And yes, he couldn't do it alone, like you said. You need help. Marino didn't have enough help. I agree with Todd. Marino didn't have enough help. Elway didn't have enough help until he got better defenses and got Terrell Davis. You know, they needed help. Mike Shanahan needed help before he was going to win Super Bowls. Listen, that Kyle Shanahan needs help with a better quarterback to win a Super Bowl. Let's be honest about it. And the Chiefs need more. Mahomes needs more help from his defense although Sunday it wasn't that bad, although Chris Jones has played in 12 playoff games and has not ever sacked the quarterback. Yeah. And that guy's making a ton of money. So in fairness, you know, we talk about stars have to step up. Well, Mahomes stepped up in big games before. He didn't step up in the second half. Maybe it's okay for Chris Jones or somebody else to, I don't know, bail him out because he's bailed out the defense, like, I don't know, the previous week. So it is a team game, as you just said. It is a team game, and you can't win 7 Super Bowls and make it a Super Bowl 10 times without having good teammates. But here's the other thing that Tom Brady did. He's a tremendous leader. He's well-respected. Well-respected. Tremendous leader. And by the way, his career numbers, 64% completion rate, which was much better towards the end of his career. He threw for almost 85,000 yards, first all-time. He had 624 touchdown passes to 203 interceptions. That's a 3-to-1 ratio, which I find interesting. Mahomes had a horrible year. 37 touchdowns, 13 interceptions. That's basically a 3-to-1 ratio. Quarterback rating, Brady in his whole career, his quarterback rating is 97.6. Mahomes had a horrible year. His quarterback rating this year is better than Brady's rating for his career. So let that sink in as well. So, and I know that you throw more passes and you can get more yards and more touchdowns, and now you're going to have an extra game on top of it with 17. But I don't want to take anything away from Tom Brady. When he was 43, he threw for 4,600 yards, 40 touchdowns, 12 interceptions. At the age of 44, he threw for 5,300 yards, 43 touchdowns, 12 interceptions, completed 68% of his passes, had a quarterback rating of 102 at the age of 44. He led the league in passing yards, led the league in passing touchdowns. He might very well be the MVP.
Yeah, he could.
So he's going out on top from the standpoint of, he knows he can still play. He didn't stay too long like Willie Mays.
Yeah.
He didn't stay too long like Brett Favre. He didn't stay too long like a lot of players. He's leaving, but what's crazy is he lasted this long.
Yeah.
Barry absolutely. Sanders retired when he was, what, 30? Robert Smith was a great player, retired at 30. Calvin Johnson, 30. Brady went 14 more years.
Mm-hmm.
At a position where you get hit, usually.
Oh, yeah. You have to at some point. Like, it's,
yeah.
you're not gonna stay clean for 22 years.
No.
Obviously, he didn't the 1 year when he got knocked out in the first game.
I mean, he's very fortunate not to have a major injury except for that one where, you know, Pollard, and they changed the rules
of
going low on quarterbacks, which enhances your longevity as well,
mm-hmm.
No doubt. Agreed with that. All right, we'll talk some KU basketball coming up here in a moment. What's next for the Chiefs? And a guy at $20 bet hit the jackpot, dude. This is a crazy story. We'll share it with you in just a moment. But we got local sports, Dusty High School basketball tonight.
Yeah, let's go through the schedule first here on Katy Country 94. It's Sylvan Lucas at Rock Hills, Northern Plains League action. And then we have on NCKSSports.com with the Bullet Trojan Channel. Bullets at Republic County this evening. St. John's Tipton at Thunder Ridge in the NPL. Lincoln is at Chase. Non-league game cross matchup, NCKL-NPL. Concordia is at Pike Valley tonight. And in the Mid-Continent League, Smith Center is hosting Hoxie. So that's a look at the schedule for the immediate area here tonight as far as high school hoops are concerned. And again, we'll get things started on Katy Country 94. Pregame coverage at 5:50 for the girls. Tip-off at 6 o'clock between Sylvan Lucas and Rock Hills. Boys game will follow. I'll preview these here just a little bit, and then we'll hear from all the coaches there from those games. The girls contest, Lady Mustangs 11-2, 4-0 in the NPL. Rock Hills is 7-6, 4-1 in the league, but they are on a 4-game winning streak coming into tonight's game. So it'll be an interesting matchup there. Obviously, Sylvan Lucas predicated on what they want to do defensively and slow down Rock Hills and Lauren Welchel. And then in the boys game, Sylvan Lucas 11-2, 5-0 in the league, and Rock Hills 2-9, 1-4 in league play tonight. So Sylvan Lucas obviously toward the top of the league standings on the boys' side. Rock Hills, though, have won two of their last three. They had a couple wins over Tescott, so, and lost just by 3 to Wilson on Friday night, so starting to feel a little bit better about themselves on the boys' side, it looks like. So yeah, that's tonight on Katy Country 94, Sylvan Lucas at Rock Hills.
Rock Hills girls head coach Jamie Harvey, the keys to winning tonight against the Mustangs.
If we can take care of the ball, I think that's one of our big issues, is just being silly with certain decisions and passing and whatnot. I know they got one player that kind of stands out, kind of like what we do, so if we can kind of keep her under wraps and defend well, defending is going to get us, you know, a chance anyway.
And Craig Batchman, head coach of the Sylvan Lucas Lady Mustangs, the most important thing tonight for his squad.
The Welchel girl, she's been around, just a great player and stuff. You know, we got to make sure we know where she is, and I know they've been playing really good basketball here lately, so got to make sure we get out on some of their other players and defend them and just get after it defensively is a big thing.
That's the girls game tonight, Dusty with Colin Mankato, and then the boys game, Zach Duffy, head coach of Rock Hills, breaks down Sylvan Lucas.
Just a very athletic
athletic bunch. You know, they kind of like to get up and down the floor and put some pressure on you a little bit. And that's kind of the one area we've struggled with this year, is kind of letting teams speed us up. And so, again, it's just going to be preaching to our guys. We have to play our style of basketball, which is fundamental, defensive, rebounding, taking care of the ball. All of those things we have to do very, very well to stay in a game like that against a very, very high-quality team.
And on the flip side, Jeff Starkey, head coach of Sylvan Lucas. They just need to simply focus in on the opponent at hand, Rock Hills, tonight.
And it's a long road trip for us. You know, they're a young team, but, you know, for us, it's about coming out and being consistent. And if we are, I think we'll be successful.
All right, so those matchups tonight, Sylvan Lucas at Rock Hills this evening on KD Country 94 and KDCountry94.com. Tonight on live video stream at NCKSports.com with the Beloit Trojan Channel, Beloit will head up to Belleville to take on Republic County. The first meeting between these schools, blowouts. The girls of Beloit won 57-27. Republic County 0-12, and they've got a very, very young team, and it's really, you got to feel for them. They've only had one game that they've had a chance to win against Concordia early in the year, lost by five. Their next closest game, 25 points. But they are a little bit more at full strength compared to the first time, according to head coach Sean Remus.
I know the first time we played, and they were really injured and had some kids that were, you know, coming off some injuries, and were only able to play six kids, I think, is all that they had that night. And so I'm sure they've gotten a little bit healthier, and so it'll be a whole different look. And so we're going to have to go up there with a mindset that we got to control what we can control and get out to a fast start and fine-tune some things that we want to work on.
All four teams had Friday off, so they haven't played since last Tuesday. Beloit girls 7-7. Republic County girls are 0-12. In the boys game, Republic County boys are playing better as of late. They are 6-6 overall, 2-3 in league play. Might be without a key contributor tonight, though, due to an injury. And Beloit, after winning 8 in a row, they've lost their last three. Although, in fairness, their three losses are to solid teams. Beloit coach Ryan Eilert just wants his team to get back on the winning track.
I want to see our kids respond. You know, we went from winning 8 in a row to now we're on a 3-game losing streak, and want to see how resilient they are and that they don't hang their heads and then bring back the intensity. You know, what the game against Republic County was so long ago that it's going to be a totally different game, and want to see that our kids are willing to put in the effort to get better and to fight, you know, this next go around when we play all our league schools again.
Beloit 9-5 overall, 3-2 in league play. Republic County 6-6, 2-3 in league. It is Beloit at Republic County tonight. Live video stream starting about 5:50 or maybe a little bit later, depending on how the games are going ahead of that. Up at Belleville at Republic County High School. Live video stream nckssports.com via the Beloit Trojan Channel. And it is Rock Hills hosting Sylvan Lucas tonight on KD Country 94 and KDCountry94.com. Now, no game on the radio tonight when it comes to high school basketball, but that's because we are the home of the Jayhawks in North Central Kansas. Z96.3 The Lake. KU tonight playing at 6 o'clock, ranked 10th now in the new poll, at number 20th ranked Iowa State in Ames. KU is 17-3, coming off a blowout loss to Kentucky at home on Saturday. 6-1 in the Big 12. They lead by percentage points over Baylor for the Big 12 lead, but if they lose tonight, they fall to second. Iowa State, 16-5 overall, 3-5 in the Big 12. Pregame at 5:30 tonight on Z96.3 Lake. Now, remember, not too long ago, KU and Iowa State played in Lawrence, and it took Iowa State miss at the buzzer to allow, actually, Harris had the game winner, and then Iowa State had a three at the buzzer, would have won it. Harris won it for KU 62-61. So KU barely won at home, and you know they're going to have a challenge on their hands when they go to Iowa State. Here are some of Bill Self's concerns.
You know, how do we keep them out of the paint with all their pinch post stuff they run? And we got to play bigger inside. I would say that would be my two biggest things right now. And then they're very good defensively. So offensively, we're not going to have a ton of easy opportunities, and we got to be prepared to take and make shots, even if maybe they're not wide open looks.
Kansas is Remy Martin. He is still dealing with he's just not 100%. Bill Self said yesterday he's at 60-70%. He's playing on about a leg and a half right now. He goes, he's a gamer. I respect him for what he's doing. We have talked about, instead of just giving him rest where he doesn't play, you know, tons of minutes each game, maybe just shut him down for a while. He's only playing in about a third of the practices, and so forth and so on. So It's a bummer because he was a preseason Big 12 player of the year, and in order for him to fit in, you need to get those reps, obviously. And I think that's one of the concerns I would have with Kansas right now is Ochai's played really well all year. Brown's played pretty solid all year. That's their 1-2 scoring punch. Harris is not an offensive threat. McCormick is, we can't even explain what's going on with McCormick. One game he looks great, next game he disappears like he did against Kentucky. Lightfoot's not an offensive threat. Jalen Wilson is a guy that can score, but not usually from the outside. And so, like, before the season, you're sitting there going, well, okay, he's got all kinds of options offensively, right? You got Remy Martin. Well, Remy's now hurt, has been hurt for a while. Yeah. If he can't go, then what happens is you've got basically three scorers. You've got Brown, Abaji, and you've got Jalen Wilson. And Wilson's not necessarily a scorer.
Yeah.
And if Abaji and Brown have off nights, or even if Abaji has an off night, and he didn't get off to a great start against Kentucky the other day, if Abaji doesn't have a great night, is this KU team too reliant on Abaji scoring 20, 25, 30 a game to win? And Remy Martin's a guy that can help shoulder the load offensively. He can score points in bunches. He can shoot at the outside. He can drive it to the hoop. He can create for his teammates, get wide open looks. But when he's 60, 70%, he's a gigantic liability defensively because he just can't move like he would like to, and he can't move as well offensively either. And so I think if KU's going to win a national championship, which right now I don't think they will, if Kansas is going to make the Final Four, which right now I don't think KU is a Final Four team, but they could be. There's no doubt they could be.
Yeah.
But for KU to make it to the Final Four, make a deep run in the tournament, and to win the Big 12 this year, and to maybe cut down the nets in April, to me there's two things that has to happen. Remy Martin's got to get healthy, and David McCormick's got to figure things out. Because if those two, if McCormick plays like he's capable of, 17 points, 15 rebounds in one game, and you got Remy Martin get healthy, now all of a sudden you have lots of offensive options. You also have a post-offensive presence, and you have a perimeter. And also, let's be honest, Remy is really the best guy at penetrating and getting deep into the lane. Harris is not really that guy. And Obagi's improved. Brown can from time to time. Brown seems to be a little gun-shy shooting the three. He keeps passing up threes to try to drive it, which is okay if you can get to the rim. So to me, there are some serious questions about KU offensively. I mean, Iowa State held him to 62. In Big 12 play, you're playing some of the best defenses in the country, and KU's offense has been stagnant at times. They only had 62 against Kentucky. So you've got to be concerned, I think, if you're KU. Where does your offense come from? Because there is a lot for Obaji to shoulder, and you would have never thought that before the season when you looked at all the weapons they have. Even Yosefu, you thought maybe could contribute, and he hasn't done anything. And now you're playing KJ Adams more than David McCormick. That's not the recipe to win a national title.
Yeah, I think it's pretty obvious that Yosefu's gone up to big boy basketball here.
Yes,
right?
Like
Drake, he could do those things, sure. Right? And you could erupt in a tournament game, right? Where you know everybody's just like, well, and I think part of that tournament stuff too is like a lot of teams are like, oh, I'm gonna let this guy get his because the rest of the team can't beat us
right.
with him.
Sure.
Like, you know, it might bite you in the end, but there's some of those that are like, yeah, and I think that's what we're seeing with Yosefu, but. Yeah, it is wild to me that it is at this point because you feel like – and I haven't watched all the KU games, but when I do watch and then when I get all the info, you know, to do the sportscast, it feels like if Oche ain't scoring 20 points at least in a game, you might be in trouble.
Yes.
Like, he got to average over 20, and he's got to do that for you to even be in games. And again, like you said, that's not – we're talking at the beginning of the season. We're trying to figure out – how is he going to narrow his depth down
right.
to 7 or 8, right? Or 9 or whatever he wants to go with Bill Self. Like, how is he going to narrow out his rotation, you know?
Now you're sitting there going, can he put like, 5 offensive threats on the
I know,
floor
and now
time?
It's like they only have 7 that are worth anything right now, and 2 of them are inconsistent.
Mm-hmm.
It's like how you feel about it, right?
And, I agree.
And so, yeah, but, you know, Ochai has obviously been special, but you can't do it with just one guy doing everything. Christian Brown stepped up, obviously, in some games, too.
The other thing is KU's got to get out and transition and run. When they run, they're deadly. But if you can keep them to half court right now, you're going to be in the game. KU's not going to blow you out playing half court offensive basketball. They're just not that good right now. And right. having a guy you can rely on to catch the ball in the paint and actually finish a 2-foot shot.
Yeah. Just look at the first time these two teams that are playing tonight played, right? 62-61.
That's right.
That's where you want it to be if you want to be in the game with Kansas.
I think it will be.
Hold them down and
I think it will
make
be
them
tonight.
Be in half court.
I think it will be. That's why Remy Martin and McCormick are the X factors offensively, especially McCormick, so because he could be that inside post offensive threat. Because they have no offensive threat right now inside.
Mm-hmm.
Lightfoot occasionally a few hooks. That's it. And then Remy can really break down a defense. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what happens tonight. KU at Iowa State on Z96.3 Lake with pregame at 5:30. Tip off at 6. The new top 25 poll is out. Auburn is number 1 again. Gonzaga 2. UCLA 3. Purdue 4. Kentucky jumps all the way from 12 to 5. Houston 6, Arizona 7, Baylor is 8, Duke is 9, and KU falls from 5 to 10 after their loss to Kentucky. Texas Tech is at 14, Iowa State is at 20, Texas Tech at 23, which leads me into Texas at Texas Tech. Chris Beard returning to Lubbock. I think I'm going to bet on the Red Raiders, and I'm going to put 10 grand on it. I'm kidding. I'm not going to go that far. But, man, do you see Texas winning this game tonight with all the emotion? I mean, that's, I guess the, you could be overhyped.
That's the thing is, like, you could be too high, Texas could win this game. You know, that's right. Where you win it is, sure. Is you, they're too high right now, man. Just stay level, and let's go in and beat them, right?
Right. 8 o'clock tonight, Texas at Texas Tech. That'll be after the KU-Iowa State game. I think Tech's going to win.
I think Tech will win.
And I think they'll win comfortably. I joked about betting, which leads me into the perfect segue. So did you see what a bettor did over the weekend on FanDuel Sportsbook?
I didn't.
He had a $20 free bet. He didn't even spend $20 free bet.
Yeah.
He did the two-game or two-leg parlay, which was simply predicting the exact score of both games, NFC, AFC title games. The odds of him hitting this two-game exact score parlay was 28,950-1, okay? So, of course, it didn't look very good. He had the Bengals winning 27-24 of the Chiefs. It didn't look very good. Chiefs are up 21-3 and so forth and so on. It looked like the Chiefs are going to win it in the end of fourth quarter. Of course, they didn't because they didn't decide to run the ball, blah, blah, blah. And then the Rams, 49ers. 49ers had a chance to, you know, win the game at the end and go down the field or force overtime. Any of that would have messed up this guy. He bet $20. You know how much he won?
Well, I mean, with those odds, it's got to be like a half a mil, doesn't it?
$579,000.
Yeah. It's like it's over half a mil, like just with the odds that you gave me there.
He got the exact score right for the Bengals, Chiefs, and the Rams, 49ers on a two-team parlay on exact score. $20 wager, which is actually a free side bet there with FanDuel. Mm-hmm. He won
stuff on there that you can side sure. and get for free. And
$579,000 is what he won. By the way, he wasn't the only winner. How about this? There was a person bet $5, bet those two scores. He turned a $5 bet into $145,000. Isn't that guy just kicking himself right now going, why didn't I just put 20
yeah.
And there was another bettor that bet $2 and got $58,000.
Yeah.
You don't think that guy's like, dude, I had a $5. Why didn't I just throw it down? Well, I needed that drink. In yeah. Vegas, or whatever it might be. Of course, this could be online betting, too. $2 bet turned into $58,000. $5 bet won $145,000. And a $20 bet won $579,000. So, see, betting is easy. You win all the time.
Yeah.
It's just like that. It happens a lot. So, yeah, I wouldn't get out there and get caught up in the gambling. I don't bet on stuff because I know I'd probably lose my shirt. I got a friend that got addicted to gambling, and he lost quite a bit of money, and he figured it out. He did it in college, and he almost lost everything.
Yeah.
And so I'm not one that sits here and say you should be gambling. That's your money. You can decide if you want to, you know, you want to put your money in the slot machine at the casino and flush it down the toilet, as I call it, when you pull that handle. Be my guest. That's your money to wherever the heck you want to do with it. But I'm gonna sit it out, and I'll enjoy reading stories of people making a whole bunch of money.
Yeah.
If I go to Vegas, I might throw down a few side bets here and there, but. I've just never got into the betting stuff. I like to make friendly bets and wagers with my friends, usually over a pop or something, but I've just never been into,
yeah.
I'm going to bet you $100 here and this and that and whatever else. I tried to get a Steeler fan to bet on the Chiefs game before the season began this year, and he chickened out. So, see, I can't even when I try to bet, people don't want to bet with
yeah.
me. We end with this. What's next for the Chiefs? I mean, the Chiefs will have Art Haynes on, by the way, of the Chiefs Radio Network tomorrow to talk Chiefs football. You know, to me, what do you think is the number one pressing issue in regards to personnel for the Chiefs going this offseason? I think a lot of people would say it's re-signing Tyrann Mathieu. From all intents and purposes, and Tyrann Mathieu has since pulled this tweet down, I've noticed. But he said they, as in past tense.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to play in the Pro Bowl, by the way, this weekend, represent Kansas City. He says here 15 hours ago, Kansas City, I will represent you guys in Pro Bowl this weekend. He also has on his Twitter page, Tyrann Mathieu, one world championship, two Lamar Hunt trophies, two-time first-team All-Pro, one-time second-team All-Pro, two-time team MVP, more than blessed, grateful, so much more to accomplish. The Honey Badger, who's now going to be a free agent, as the Chiefs and him did not work out any kind of long-term deal, and part of that was being hamstrung by the Chris Jones contract. I've said it before, I'd rather have Tyrann Mathieu than Chris Jones. And I know some people might not agree with me, but to me, he's a leader. He helps get you lined up. We've seen what happens when the Chiefs don't have him on the field against Buffalo and some other games when he gets, you know, bit dinged up or something, or had COVID and missed a game. The defense isn't the same. Chris Jones out there, maybe he was playing hurt again. I don't know. But Chris Jones had ample opportunity to make some gigantic plays in that game Sunday. He didn't. Now, the defense as a whole did its job. But Chris Jones, you're paying him a lot of money. You're paying your stars to be stars. And honestly, on Sunday, the Chiefs, their stars, all the stars disappeared in the second half. First half, you had Kelce and Hill and Mahomes. The stars did their job. And the defense was okay. But Chris Jones didn't get any bat. He didn't bat down a ball like he did in the Super Bowl that were a couple big plays. He didn't do – I mean, Frank Clark got one pressure and 30 pass rushes. So you're paying $40 million to Chris Jones, Jerron Reed, and Frank Clark, and they got a total of one sack, and they didn't get the sack. Melvin Ingram did.
Yeah.
They didn't get a lot of pressures. They got a few. And there was one turnover, and that was a great interception by Snead, not really caused by the pass rush. So isn't it time for the Chiefs to retool the defense and, you know, cut Frank Clark, save yourself? They're going to save themselves quite a bit of money. They will have money on the dead cap. If they wait till after June 1st, they'll help him even more financially. Mm-hmm. To me, Frank Clark, I don't see any equation where he's back next year. Do you?
No, unless he takes a massive pay cut and decides to stay.
Like a one-year deal like Sammy Watkins did?
Like that's the only way.
Yeah.
Because they're not keeping that contract.
I still don't know if that's worth it.
No,
the Chiefs.
I don't know. I don't think he'll be back.
But if you were the Chiefs right now, would you be making all attempts to re-sign Tyrann Mathieu, or would you be just like, you know what, let's see what's out there, and if the open market isn't as good as he thinks it is, he might come back to us?
But that's the thing for me is if there was no money involved, then it was just like a straight decision. Oh. Do you want Tyrann Mathieu on this team? Absolutely.
Sure you do.
Do you want to spend the money that he's probably going to command or demand? No. That's not priority number one for me.
I agree.
Priority number one for me is because we're probably going to cut Frank Clark and Melvin Ingram's a free agent.
Mm-hmm. You might want somebody to bring him back.
I need guys on the edge that can push the issue for this defense, because obviously they can't cover, right?
No.
Also, so that's probably what I would put at one of guys that I would want personnel-wise.
Mm-hmm.
Two, whoever can stop having Ben Neiman and Daniel Sorensen on the field all the time. Whatever personnel decisions you need to make there to get them off the field,
amen, brother.
Those are the ones I want to make.
Yes, I'll give you my. I agree with you on those two, and I'll add one more.
Yeah.
So, you know, Frank Clark, bye bye. And plus, he's got gun charges. He's got to finally have to deal with this offseason. Maybe that'll get him out of even more money if he's found guilty of that, which I'm sure he'll get a slap on the wrist. And then Melvin Ingram, you know, he's 32, so it's not like he's a long-term fixture. So maybe you can bring him back on a one-year deal.
Yeah.
But he's not the guy that's going to go out and get you 10 sacks next year. We know that. He has an injury history, although he was still healthy for the Chiefs for the 9-7 games he played, whatever it was. You've got, you know, with Frank Clark not be on this team, not that he was providing much pressure off the edge anyway, and if Melvin Ingram gets a two-year deal somewhere else, he'll probably take it. I don't think the Chiefs will give him a two-year deal. So you're going to lose those two pass rushers. So now the Chiefs have glaring, glaring issues at defensive end. I mean, you have nobody to rush the passer from the edge. Nobody. Mike Dana is not the answer full time. Let me tell you that right now. He's a decent role player. You got Jones in the middle. And please don't move him back to DN. Don't do that. So you've got to find – I said it to you yesterday off the air. To me, the Chiefs got to go find two pass rushers, not one.
Yeah.
They got to find two. They got to find one maybe in the draft, and they got to find one in free agency. They've got to find guys that can pressure the quarterback. This is a passing league. I mean, teams like, you know, the Bengals threw the ball 40 times. They ran it 20 times. This league is, unless you're playing the Ravens, basically, or the Titans, you're throwing the ball 70% of the time, if not more. So you have to have – there is a premium on pass rushers. You've got to get pressure. You've got to sack the quarterback. And the Chiefs don't have that, didn't have it. And losing Ingram and Clark ain't going to make it much worse, because it's not like they got a lot of pressure the day against a bad offensive line. So to me, you blow it up. And if you bring Ingram back, fine, but I'm not really focused on that. You cut Clark. You've got to find two, maybe even three. You got to find guys that can rush the passer. You got to have a guy that's obviously, if you could find a Derek Thomas, that'd be awesome, right? But a guy that's kind of that he's fast, he's quick, he can make great moves, and maybe he can even cover every once in a while if you need him to. That'd be the perfect guy to find. Now, you going to find in the draft when the Chiefs are late in the first round? Probably not. But you never know. I mean, they found Nick Bolton in the second round, and that was – he might be the defensive player of the year when it comes to rookies, to be quite frank with you. Mm-hmm. You know, they found LeJarius Sneed in the fourth round. They found guys – I mean, Tom Brady, for crying out loud, was a sixth-round pick. You might find that stud later in the draft. They do get an extra third-round pick this year because Ryan Poles is leaving to be the general manager of the Bears. So they've got some draft picks. They're not like the Rams who gave away all their first-round draft picks, okay? So they've got picks. But also, you get rid of Clark, you free up money. They do have money available on the cap. They're going to redo Mahomes and convert it into probably a signing bonus. That saves money on the cap. The Chiefs will have some money. If you don't sign Tyrann Mathieu to a big long-term deal and a whole bunch of money up front, which it looks like the Chiefs aren't going to do, and that's why I wouldn't go with Mathieu, because you just got too much money. If you didn't have Chris Jones tied up, I would probably go with Mathieu. But you do have Chris Jones with that money on the books. So to me, I would be... you're going to have more flexibility in the cap. You cut Clark. I would run from Sorensen. He's a free agent anyway. And I like Daniel Sorensen. He made a lot of great plays in his career, but he's just not the player he once was. Ben Neiman, special teams player, fine. That's it. He shouldn't be out there defensively unless he's our third string middle backer. So I'm with you on that. So to me, you got to find in free agency of the draft, if you lose Mathieu, I still think you got to find a bona fide. You might have to go find a veteran safety on a cheaper deal.
Yeah, you got to find somebody.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
I don't think you want to go with Armani Watts and Juan Thornhill.
They're not
right
in
there.
Stock. I mean, Thornhill, I think, can be a guy out there.
Right.
But you need – he's not Tyrann Mathieu.
And
he's
Armani Watts couldn't beat out Daniel Sorensen. So so how in the world – I mean, the Chiefs got – I mean, if you let Mathieu go, which he's a free agent anyway, but you don't re-sign him, then you probably need two safeties. I think the Chiefs need another big corner on the other side of Ward. So there's two safeties – you need at least one safety. You need a corner, and you definitely need a couple pass rushers. There's four, or right, there's four guys. And then I'll go the third one step further than what you said. They need to find a bona fide number two wide receiver.
Yeah, that's where I'm. If you would have asked me, then now tell me offense. It's a wide receiver.
So that's five players they need.
Yeah,
and that's hard to find in the offseason. You know, if Minkah Fitzpatrick was available as a free agent, of course he'd probably require a lot of money. But you know, a guy like that. I think he's a little younger than Mathieu. Mathieu's going to turn 30 in May. Maybe they could find that guy like Mathieu they did 3 years ago, get him on a three-year, you know, $55 million deal instead of 3 years, 42 with Mathieu. The price has gone up for everybody. Probably 3 years, $60 million. Maybe that's what you do. Maybe you don't. Maybe you find it in a draft. Maybe Armani Watts is the guy that plays safety with Thornhill. I'm not positive exactly how you go, but I do know this. You've got to find a safety to replace Mathieu. You can't go with what you have in-house. You need to move on from Sorensen and Neiman. I'm with you. You got to move on from DeMarcus Robinson. Please, for the love of God, move on from DeMarcus Robinson. Pringle wants to be your third or fourth wideout. I'm cool. Pringle's not a number two wideout. Sorry, K-State fans. Quit lying to yourself. All right? I see K-State fans just wearing the purple colors. Pringle is he's a good player. He's an NFL player. There's no doubt he's a good special teams player on coverage, a good returner. He's a decent, solid wide receiver, but he's not a number two.
No.
Would you agree?
I would agree, but he's gone way past what his peak was thought to be.
Right, but he wasn't a high draft pick, obviously.
No, he wasn't a draft pick at all.
Right, exactly. So DeMarcus Robinson was a draft pick, but not super high. But the Chiefs, to me, got to find not a Juju Smith-Schuster, although if they get him cheap, fine. They need to find a big, tall, physical receiver. We talked about yesterday, I don't even know if I was on the show or not, Josh Gordon in his prime.
Yeah.
Or, you know, even Josh Reynolds was a guy they looked at in the offseason. A big, tall target. You know, you would love Ja'Marr Chase. Oddly enough, you know the type of guy the Chiefs need on this offense, in my opinion, to help Mahomes out? Because, yes, Kelce can go up and get the ball. You can throw it up to him. Hill, you can throw it up to, but guys can run right through Hill to make a play like they did at the end of the game against the Bengals. You need a guy that can ward people off. You see Ja'Marr Chase. People don't go through the guy. He gets the position. You don't go through him. Remember Dwayne Bowe? Dwayne Bowe is a big physical receiver with really good speed. That's the type of guy the Chiefs need. I'm not saying you bring back Dwayne Bowe out of retirement. What I'm saying is they need a guy like Dwayne Bowe that was about 6'3", 6'4", 220. They need a big physical receiver with some speed. You don't have to run a 4'3", 40. We got Hardman. Hardman can be the three guy. I'm cool with that. Be the wide receiver number three. Pringle be your four. Cool. Hill's your number one. You've got to find a number two. And they don't have that. So that would help Mahomes, I think, quite a bit. And I'm trying to pull up Dwayne Bowe. 6'2", 221. 6'2", 221. Find me a receiver that's 6'2", 6'3", 210 to 225. Find me that receiver. Maybe it's in the draft in the second round. But the Chiefs need to find a bona fide number two receiver, because you can't keep assuming and thinking that Hill and Kelce are going to play every single down. Those guys are, I'm telling you, they're ticking time bombs when it comes to an injury. I've been saying it for 2 years, and it hasn't happened yet. And that's why I'm even more frustrated the Chiefs didn't win it the other day on Sunday, because they were healthy. What are the odds the Chiefs stay healthy all these years? There's going to be a year when Mahomes is going to miss a couple games like he did just a couple years ago. There's going to be a game. You know, Hilaire's the only guy that really got hurt, to be quite honest with you, of any major magnitude. Right tackle, Niang, they lost him. But they didn't lose three offensive linemen this year like they did last year. They didn't lose Matthew for the season. They didn't lose Thornhill for the season like they did a few years ago. They didn't lose Ward. He missed some games. They didn't have that major injury that just killed you. Like Tyreek Hill didn't rip up his ACL. You know, Kelce didn't get a concussion and missed 3 weeks. They didn't have to deal with any of that. But they're going to need somebody to step up in case Hill or Kelce have a bad day, which we saw the other day in the second half, or guys that, you know, get banged up. You got to rest them. You're getting older, more wear and tread on the tires. They've got to find somebody to help in the passing game. And the line, I think, is pretty solid. If Niang comes back healthy, you got right tackle. Maybe they address the line and get a guy. But they don't need to go get five like they did last year. But what do you think is most important? Safety? A big, tall, physical corner to go opposite side of Ward? Although you could argue Snead could be that guy and slide Fenton in the slot. But they like Snead in the slot for some reason. So the Chiefs keep getting Fenton and Hughes against, you know, the tall receivers of the world that don't work very well. And in pass rush, number two wideout. What's your priorities in the order of those three positions? Four positions.
Pass rush is going to be at the top.
I would say that's
lose
number one.
Two of them, probably.
I agree. That's my number one priority.
And then I would say probably the safety.
Okay, I'm with you.
And then corner.
Okay.
Two wide receiver I would like to have, probably.
Yeah,
but
putting that last on your
list. This offense can still work. They've shown it without.
True.
Not consistently.
They had one game where the Hill basically didn't play much against the Steelers the day after Christmas, and Kelce
was out with COVID.
Pringle and Hardman stepped up, but that was against a defense wasn't that great, and that's only one game sample size.
Yeah.
Over the span of six, seven, five games, I don't think the Chiefs have enough.
That's my thing is, like, I'm looking at holes that are there right now to fill.
Right.
The hole can come relatively quick again, like you say, if there's an injury.
Absolutely.
If Tyreek can't play, then you don't have a bona fide two receiver that moves into the one spot.
And that's part of your problem when you have
Julio Jones in his prime.
And that's part of the problem. Julio Jones in his prime would be great. That'd be perfect. Or A.J. Brown. See if the Titans just give him away. But the other thing, too, is this is what happens when your quarterback's number is going to go up the next few years on the cap. It's going to go up.
Yeah.
And you've got money tied up in Chris Jones. And so what you do is you pay a handful of players a ton of money. So now you've got to get really other guys to fulfill their potential, whether they're undrafted or late round picks. But it also hurts you where? Depth.
Yeah.
It hurts you depth wise. And the Chiefs have been very fortunate to overcome that for the most part. But we saw it come back and bite them last year in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
They didn't have enough depth on the offensive line at left or right tackle. That cost them. But the price for Mahomes is going to go up. And that's why another reason why I'm still ticked off they lost on Sunday is because that was during Mahomes' rookie window contract. You basically, the first 5 years, that's where your window is to before the quarterback's money really kicks in and starts to hurt you a little bit. And next year, they can rework it a little bit to where it won't be horrible. But years down the line, it will be.
35.7 right now.
There's a way to restructure.
They'll do what they need to do, just like they did this year, because it was supposed to be way more than it was.
But it ain't going
to
be $6 million or anything like it was on the rookie deal.
No.
So they got to accommodate and deal with that. And so that's going to make it a little bit harder. And that's where that's why I think Matthews is not going to be re-signed. I think that's why you cut Frank Clark, because he isn't performing anyway. It's probably why you might not bring Melvin Ingram back, even if he wants to come back, but he wants too much money. You've got to build this team and retool it in the draft, and then with a couple of sly veteran acquisitions. I think the biggest thing you're going to miss with Tyrann Mathieu, not necessarily his play, you're going to miss his leadership on defense, getting you lined up, because he knows and seen so many different coverages over his years in the NFL. That's what you're going to miss. That's going to be really hard to replace. The question is it worth $50 to $60 to $70 million to have that security blanket in the backfield? Probably not.
No.
Probably not. So I expect Matthew to be in a different uniform next year. I just hope it's not in the AFC West.
Yeah.
And Frank Clark, he can go wherever. I'm not worried about Frank Clark. I think he's pretty much done.
Yeah. Yeah, no.
He's not that old, but.
No.
But, by the way, Dwayne Bowe's only 37. We could bring him back. We could bring him back. Have a great day, everybody.
State, regional, and national sports talk on your schedule. The Sports Ticket Podcast. Subscribe via Apple, Google, and TuneIn Podcasts or SunflowerStateRadio.com.